Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
When you make God, God, when he is the Lord of your life, and you really mean that, and you give your life to him, and say, Lord, I'm tired of messing this up by doing it on my own. I give you the title deed in my life, which is what I told the Lord, you know, when I was going through crisis. I said, you have the title deed. I don't know how to steer this car. So, yeah, Jesus, take the wheel. I said, just take the wheel of my life. Just take me to the destination you want. Now, Paul understood what it was like to minister, though. After many years, he went through many hardships. And so we're going to look at a portion of Scripture where he has some things to say that I hope that you will feel encouraged today. That is my hope for you, that as we look at three sayings that he has as he is delivering his farewell message to the Ephesians, to the Ephesian elders of the church. He's talking to shepherds, he's talking to pastors, but I think he's talking to all of us. Any Christian, any believer, anybody who's ever done any kind of ministry for the Lord. And I think he has three encouraging things to say. But let's go ahead and look at the scripture this morning. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I have lived among you the whole time. From the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and tears and trials that happened to me throughout the plot of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. And when he had said these things, and you'll skip down to verse 36. And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him. And then they led him off to his ship. Basically, at that point, from this point on, most of Paul's ministry will be from a jail cell. He will go to Jerusalem. He will be arrested. And he will be taken to different places. He will end up in Rome. And he will write letters. And he will help to turn even the emperor's palace upside down for Jesus Christ from a prison cell. And so we're at a point where he's saying, you guys aren't going to see me. He wasn't lying. This was a hard, hard thing. But I look at three things that he says here. And the first is really this thing of tears and trials. Notice that? I've ministered to you, through tears and trials. And what I learned from that is we must learn to accept pain as part of the process of accomplishing our purpose. Anybody can say amen to that? We've got to accept it, gang. It's part of it. Now, most of human nature and most of people's lives is trying to avoid pain, right? We want to avoid it. We want to run from it. We want to get around it. Oh, there's a trial. There's an obstacle in my life. And how many of you guys know? I mean, we say life is like a marathon, amen? And the Apostle Paul says it's like a race. It's a marathon. How many of you guys know it's more like an obstacle course, right? An obstacle course, do you ever see it jumping over, leaping things, falling on your face in the mud, dragging yourself around obstacles, right? It's kind of more like that, isn't it? And at the end, you're all muddy and dirty and scratched up and sweaty and probably smelly and just going, ugh. And God's going, well done, good and faithful servant. And you're going, really? But that's Paul, man. He was beaten, whipped, stoned, left for dead, gets up, goes back into the town, keeps preaching, keeps going. Even though sometimes it seems people aren't even getting it. He keeps going. Man, what makes this guy continue to be a minister for the Lord with all that he experiences? But he learned to accept pain as part of the process. Gang, if you're going to grow in character, you're going to go through some hurt. Because there's no other way to teach you. There's no other way to grow you, right? Like a plant that pushes up dirt. I don't know. I've never heard a plant scream, but I'm sure it probably would hurt. But, you know, when you grow, there's pain involved in the process. There are trials. There are difficulties. There's going to be tears and trials along the way. It shouldn't surprise us. In fact, James tells us that, doesn't he? James 1, 2 through 3 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Now, I remember when I was a kid, and I first read that, you know, because you're a kid, you haven't gone through maybe a whole lot yet in your life. You haven't lived that long. I thought, man, that is weird. How can I be joyful, like, yay, skipping around? Ooh, I'm going through trials. That's weird. How can you do that? But I know as I get older and I learn, I understand that, you know, I consider joyful. Why? Because I know I don't have regrets even for the bad things that happened to me, because you know what? The loss I experienced, the hard things, the changes, sometimes even betrayal in my life, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. You know why? Because it made me who I am for the glory of God. Amen? And that's how it works in your life too, not just for pastors, but for anybody. As you submit yourself to the process, as you submit yourself to God. Sometimes people are saying all kinds of things about you, and you just kind of be quiet and go to the Lord in prayer. But you don't want to be quiet. You don't want to defend yourself. You want to lash out. And sometimes there have been times where I have to be quiet. And I have to let the Lord defend me. And that's hard. Or I let other people defend me. That's hard. Because the immature Dave wants to lash out. But I said, no, you need to be quiet, immature Dave. The spiritual Dave doesn't do that. He waits for the Lord. Amen? Do you guys relate? You understand what I'm talking about? It's hard. Right? When you see injustice, especially when it's on you, that could be rough. But count it all joy. When the apostles were arrested, and they were beaten, and they were imprisoned, and they were persecuted and told, you guys got to stop talking about Jesus Christ. You got to stop sharing the gospel. And they left prison. Of course, they never stopped sharing the gospel, but they left prison and they counted it joy. They were joyful. They were happy. But you know, you and I, we will probably, most of us in this room, will probably never experience persecution like they do in the Middle East, in Iraq and some of these places where ISIS is. Most of us are never going to experience that level of persecution like the apostles had. But you know, we get all bent out of shape and offended when somebody challenges our faith at work, yeah? Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, well, You know, they got some kind of smart, snide remark, and your blood just begins to boil. Oh. Why? Remember this verse. Go, oh, praise God. Well, do you want to hear? You have an opportunity to share with them. Or maybe they just want to joke and jest, and that's fine. Say, Lord, I'm thankful that I can speak the truth. I'm thankful, Lord, that I count it worthy to experience this. Amen? People put you down. People persecute you. When you are representing the truth, it's going to happen. Don't be surprised, though, about the spiritual opposition. This is the other, where are the tears and the trials? You know, anytime you try and share Christ with somebody, the devil is going to oppose you. And I don't mean the devil can be everywhere at the same time. But there are demonic forces. There are people that are unwittingly influenced by him. And we shouldn't be surprised. Here's another thing that Paul says. He says, we must not shrink from speaking the truth. He didn't shrink from speaking the full gospel. Do you know that what it means to shrink? I know some people thinking, I wish you would shrink a little bit so I won't hurt my neck looking up at you. But what does he say shrink? What, to shrink back, what do you think that means? To be a little kind of timid, right? A little timid, a little fearful. There's a real mean word, cowardly. Ooh, to be cowardly. Wow, nobody wants to be that. That's, but he didn't shrink back, even though he was opposed. Even though people actually got in his face. He taught the whole thing about Jesus. He said, what? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead that you and I might have life and that eternally. Why did he die on the cross? Why? Because we are all sinners. What that means is that our heart is rebellious towards God by nature. But if we would respond to the love of God and turn to him, that we will be with him for all eternity. But if we will not respond, we continue on a path of rebelliousness towards God. We will be in a place of darkness called hell. That's the truth. That's essentially the whole story. I went to a conference one time years ago, and I won't tell you the conference, I won't tell you who said this, but I was shocked because there was this room full of people at the convention center, and there was a speaker up there, real popular pastor, real popular guy. I don't know if you really remember him or know him, but he said that he shared a story about how he shared the gospel with this celebrity radio host guy. And the guy he was sharing the gospel with asked him, well, okay, Jesus loves me and all that, but what about this whole hell thing? What about this hell and damnation thing that I always hear about? And I kid you not, the guy goes, well, let's not talk about that right now. Let's just say, you know, Jesus is for you, or something to that effect. Basically, skirt around the issue, right? And I wasn't so much shocked at that as I was at the room. They erupted in clapping. They're like, why? There was a room full of pastors and ministers. Wow. And I thought, okay, you guys are just clapping for somebody who just didn't want to give the whole truth. Because if Jesus saves us, what's he saving us from? Ourselves, true. He can break chains of addiction. But why do we have chains of addiction? Why do we have things in our lives? Because there's something in our heart. There's sin, and sin needs to be dealt with. And the only thing that can pay the price of sin is blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Redemption is through him. Amen? That's the gospel, gang. If you leave that out, if you leave out any part of it, what does that do? It's shrinking back. And there are a lot of pastors who want popularity over preaching the full gospel. Right? It's a temptation. And I'm not talking false teachers here. Gang, we've been dealing with these prosperity guys for forever, right? We know the false teachers and name it and claim it guys. They've been around for thousands of years. You know what's more dangerous, especially here in the West? It's not false teachers, but teachers that shrink back, the cowardly, the I'm going to avoid all the hard issues. I'm not going to talk about marriage. I'm not going to talk about hell. I'm not going to talk about anything that might offend anybody because I want to put butts in the seats. Yeah? Now, I talk about those issues. I try to do it with love and grace. But I don't talk about controversial issues or hot topics to be mean or unnecessarily firm with somebody. I do it because I love you. It's out of love, and it's out of responsibility to Jesus Christ. I'm not called to be a popular pastor. I'm just called to teach the word. Amen? But the Bible warns about those, they seek him out. But that's where it's dangerous, because you can believe all the right things. You know what I mean? Oh, I got my theology. I got my doctrine in order. You know, I got Trinity, the virgin birth. I got all this stuff. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I believe that about hell too. Yeah, but I'm not going to talk about it. Well, and so it's no wonder if pastors are timid, if we're timid, what's going to happen to the congregations? What's going to happen to people that follow Jesus that are under these shepherds? What's going to happen? It's going to trickle down, right? And then we're all going to be walking around on eggshells, all timid. And somebody's going to ask us, you know, I hear about this thing about sin. What is that? Oh, yeah. Just got to, make better choices in life. Dude, it's not about making better choices. It's a spiritual issue. It's about inviting Jesus to come in. It's like this. Okay, what is it that happens when the Holy Spirit comes in? Imagine this. Jesus comes over to your house one day, knocks on the door, right? I don't know what your door sounds like, but open the door. There's Jesus. Jesus says, hey, I wanted to just come in. Oh, yeah, hey, hold on just a moment. And he closes the door. Yeah, I got to clean up. No, I, it's okay. I just want to come in. Oh, no, Lord, I get, oh, okay, right over there. Never mind all the towels. You just put a sheet over it. Right? Oh, sit there, Lord, yeah. Hey, what's in this room over here? Oh, no, never mind. You don't like going there, Lord. But see, Jesus says, no, you don't understand. I'm here to clean your house. What? You've been trying all your life to clean all this stuff up. And you're not getting anywhere, are you? No, I'm not. Step outside for a moment. And all of a sudden, Jesus is ripping up your carpet, and he's throwing it out. And he goes in the room, and he's going through your stuff, and he's cleaning things out. And he's cleaning it all out, and he's scrubbing everything. And you go inside, and you can't even recognize what the house looks like. You go, this is amazing. I didn't know I still had that. Right? Wow. And that's what he does to his soul, is when he comes into our lives. And we have sin, we have darkness, we have these little rooms and these pockets inside of our hearts. And he goes in. He says, if you're willing to let me in there, I'm going to change you. Is it going to cost you something? Yeah, it might cost you friends. Yeah, it might cost you some comfort. But you know what? If you stop dictating to God what you're going to change, what you're not going to change, and you just let him in, it's amazing what he'll do. Amen? Is that good? Is that helpful? But we can't shrink from speaking the whole truth. And even at work, right? Sometimes, we just want to get along. But notice Jesus said this. Okay, it's not just me. Jesus, Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. What's he saying? Don't diss me, I won't diss you. Right? You share about me with people. Testify of my name. I will testify of you before the Father. But if you're ashamed of me, how many of you guys, have you seen that? Or maybe you've experienced that. It's like, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Yes, are the values in the church different today than some of the values in the world? Sure. Do we have anything to be ashamed of? Absolutely not. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is what? The power of salvation for everyone who believes. See, we've got to stop trusting in ourselves. Maybe you don't have the right words. Maybe you don't feel eloquent. Maybe you don't feel that you have enough Bible knowledge. Trust the gospel. Open your mouth and speak the truth. And what will happen is God takes over. You don't have to go into their house. God goes in and cleans things. Amen? It's the power of the gospel. We've got to trust in the power of the word of God as we share the scripture. That's a pretty powerful scripture, right? Do I have to preach on that? Do I have to get all hot and sweaty up here? And the Lord said, I don't have to do that, right? Why? Because it preaches itself. The Bible is hard enough for some to accept. The gospel is offensive enough. All we need to do is open our mouth and share the word of God and let God do the work. Amen? But don't be afraid. You have nothing to be ashamed about. You don't have to be timid. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I love being a Christian. Now, you don't have to be in somebody's face about it. Yeah, what about it? I'm a Christian. What about it? No, don't do that. But Just go, yeah. And be willing to answer the question straightforward. I hate it when I see people, these pastors, you know, that get on Larry, that's a test, right? Get on Larry King or Oprah or one of these shows, and then they get asked some hot button issues, and the guys are up to, well, well, really? This is your opportunity. Testify to the Lord. Give the whole gospel, right? Some do, some don't. All I'm saying is, like, when you have an opportunity, just share the truth and just let the chips fall where they may. You know why? Because that's not on you. That's on them. It's not up to you and I to save people. That's up to God, and it's between God and them. It's just up to us to be faithful to speak the word. Amen? So keep your eyes on the finish line by knowing where your true values come from. What do I mean by this? When Paul said, he said, well, I consider my life of no value. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm a worthless, dirty little worm or something. No, what he was saying is, if I look at my life for just me and what I can experience, it's worthless. My life is all about accomplishing the mission God has given me to do. Would you agree with that? Keep your eyes on the finish line by knowing where your true value comes from, knowing where your purpose comes from. I now have Christ in me. Christ has called me, right? He's called me to minister, but he's called each and every one of you to minister. The Great Commission, Matthew 20:19, what says? Baptize all nations, right? Basically, take the gospel everywhere. Baptize everybody, right? That's for everybody. That wasn't just, oh, just you 12. No. It's extended to all of us. When we have an opportunity, share the gospel with somebody. Share the love of Jesus Christ. Touch their life in a tangible way. I think Paul could have given up. Don't you think so? There's a lot of opportunities for Paul to kind of give it up. Okay, I'm done now. Yeah, ministry stops here. I'm done. Okay. You guys kind of stoned me and left me for dead. I'm done with this, right? I think most of us kind of would say, yeah, that would probably be it. I think I'd hang it up. But what he didn't hang it up. He said, well, now ministry is going to get a little tougher. I'm going to go to jail. You guys aren't going to see me again. I'm going to minister from jail. But I'm going to finish the course. When you run a race, do you stop in the middle? That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? All right, come on, go for it, go. Everybody's cheering you on. You just, yeah, okay, I'm done. What are you doing? Well, I just felt like, I'm done. Ministry's too hard. Working for the Lord's too hard. I got a full-time job. I don't need this. I'm out of here. But it's not just talking about pastors and ministers, and I'm not just talking about me. It's all of us. Anyone here who has ever done any kind of ministry for the Lord, you know. You try something. You step out in faith, man. Somebody criticizes it or something happens or something goes on in your life. And you're like, ah. And then you just check out or you settle or you, I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore. But be like Paul. It wasn't about him. It was about Jesus and the call on his life. And he knew his purpose. He knew where his value came from. And he kept going. In our hearts, 1 John says, what? Man, our hearts can deceive us. You know, God is greater, though, than our hearts. Amen? You believe that? How many of you guys know God is greater than your heart? He's greater than your feelings. He's greater than your emotions. So you can be ministering. You can be touching somebody's life. And you think, nothing's really happening here, right? But you let the emotions and stuff carry you away. You don't need to. God is greater. God's put you where you are right now. Maybe he's put you here right now today to listen to what I'm saying, to tell you that you are valuable, you are worthy to him, and you are called. Whether you do vocational ministry like this or bivocational or whatever it is, volunteer, most of it is going to be you're doing a job, maybe two jobs, but you do this little ministry on the side. You be faithful. You be faithful. It could be in the church. Maybe you're feeding the homeless. Maybe it's something that you just do and it's outside the present congregation. That's fine. You keep doing it. Amen? Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the devil short circuit your plans, your calling, because you're having a bad day. Believe me, I've had bad days. I've had times where, it's a long time ago, but I've had times where I have thought about, I want to do something else. I'm going to go back to sales. I'm going to, you know. But is that what you're called to do, Dave? No. It was the voice of the Lord, it's like right there. It's like somewhere in the back right here, the back of my head, I think. It's just right there, you know. As soon as I have that thought, you know, it's like, you know, that's not, I don't even finish my sentence. And the Lord's already correcting me, going, this is where I put you, be faithful. That's all we're called to do. Amen. Is that good? Don't give up. Don't short circuit your calling. Know where your value comes from. That the Lord values you. And for those of you that are serving here, I value you.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.